I'm not really sure what to say here. It's been a few days of really just sadness. Our friend Twitch passed away a few days ago. And if you haven't heard about it, it's been all over the internet and social media. People talking about how he brought so much joy and light to the world. And Twitch did. I've known Twitch for 6 years. I met him in 2016. I had him on the School of Greatness. And we built a bond, a friendship. And it's been extremely hard for me and so many people that knew him to understand what happened. I've had so many great conversations with other friends of his, and we've just been connecting on the good times that we've had with Twitch and so many different things that have happened over the years and experiences. The last message I got from him was a few months ago. He invited me to his 40th birthday, and he said, "My guy, sending love and all the blessings." And he was supposed to perform at the Summit of Greatness a couple of years ago, but he had a conflict. He and his wife were doing a Disney thing, and he was like, "Hey, man, when you bring it back, let us know. We'd love to do it." And he was meant to come and perform one of these years. He would text me. We would send video messages back and forth about the meaning of life and purpose and love and, you know, exciting things that were happening in his life and my life. And he would send notes all the time from different interviews. You know, when Kobe Bryant came on the show, he was like, "Man, this is such an inspiring interview." And he would constantly reach out and say hi. And we were just, you know, friends helping each other out over the last 6 years. And it's been really sad. That's all I can really say. To lose a human being with so much love and light and joy, who is a giver. And every friend that I've talked to that's known him, they're all just like, he's been the biggest giver, you know, in their lives. We had Twitch on the show back in 2016. I think it was episode 406. So a long time ago, we had him on. And I asked him questions about, you know, the thing he loved the most about his wife. I asked him questions about being raised by a single mom in the South, you know, and overcoming all the adversity that he overcame to get to where he was at the time. And I wanted to replay this episode in honor of our friend Twitch, Steven, and let you learn a little bit more about who he was, his life, what he was inspired by, how he loved, his definition of greatness, his three truths, all that. He lived a beautiful life and showed up deeply for those that he cared about. And he inspired and impacted millions of lives every single day on The Ellen Show with his energy, his love, his fun, his joy. And he is deeply missed by so many. So without further ado, my friend, I miss you. We miss you. And I hope you guys enjoy this episode with Steven Twitch Boss.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
Welcome everyone back to the School of Greatness podcast. We have a dancing legend in the house, Twitch. Steven Boss, good to see you, man. Hey, thanks for coming on here, brother.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. We were just connecting before this about how we have some mutual friends and Aubrey Marcus and Antoine Troop.
Yes.
And I'm sure many more if we...
Once we hang out a little more. Exactly.
But you are, you've had an incredible career, incredible story. You grew up in Alabama.
Absolutely.
I lived in Huntsville for a while. You were in Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
And you became well known around the world from a show.
Absolutely.
So you think from dance, right?
Dance, yes.
And when did you first go on that show?
I first went on that show in 2008. Time flies.
Man,
I know.
Almost 10 years.
Flies. Yo, almost
8 years,
years
ago, right?
Yeah, exactly. And before that, though, I mean, I was born and raised in Montgomery, Alabama.
Yeah.
I moved out here to go to school, and that was like the deal. With my grandfather, like, he was like, "Okay, you want to go out and pursue dance, but the only way that you're going to do that is if you have some kind of education with it."
So I literally
a backup plan, absolutely. Yeah. You know? So I literally I applied to I just started looking up schools that had dance programs out here. Just started applying, and luckily I got into this one named Chapman University.
Oh, sure, I've heard of that.
which is right there in Orange County. So it's
a T3 school, right? Like a
absolutely.
Smaller,
yeah, it's small, but it's arts. Like absolutely. Very, it's a private situation, but super impactful as far as the film is incredible. The dance is incredible, sure. And it's just right down the way from here. So I was in a place where I could just hop back and forth, boom, boom, and that's exactly what it was until I actually got on. So You Think. It was a lot of back and forth. You know, I would get a job here and then have to go back to Orange County to go back to school,
like a little gig, like a dance gig,
like
or
a
like
little
a
gig here,
or
yeah,
something.
Or even a movie. I got I did Hairspray, and remember the movie Blades of Glory? There was like a dance, there was a dance scene in that, like I was in
Wait, Blades of Glory with
Will Ferrell and John Heder. Yes,
you were
in
that movie?
I was in that movie.
Shut up.
I was.
Were you on ice?
No, but I was in a dance studio with a black tutu on. We were not talking about it, but you know, so I did stuff here and there, but So You Think was the one.
Yeah,
like
the breakout.
The impact was like that gave me trajectory. Do you know what I mean?
So you were 18 when you went to college then, or when you came out to Chapman, or how?
I was 20 when I came out to Chapman.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so you were hanging in Montgomery after high school.
Absolutely.
A couple
went
years.
To a community college there, two years, just to kind of get the grades up, and then try to figure out how I can actually get out to L.A.
Okay. You know, so you're 20, and you were doing the auditions, made some movies in the first couple of years, I guess?
Yeah, in the first couple of years. I mean, it's pretty great. I mean, and also, I came out with because, of course, now that you like that you're here too, right? You've been here for some time, and, you know, when you're here, you can get a little jaded about certain things, right? So when I came, I was just on straight dumb luck, innocence, you know what I mean? And it's just like, what competitive market? What do you mean? Like, what do you mean? I have to have an agent to go to this audition? No, I don't. I'm just going to show up and I'm going to get it. And I got, you know, I got jobs. It was just, it did. I've always kind of had this, a little bit of denial. I am one of the few. You know what I mean?
Always.
And that kind of it worked out. It worked out in my favor.
What do you think allowed you to separate yourself from all the thousands of dancers who were out here for years before you training, who maybe were just as good technically or had, you know, just good dancers, but you were giving the gigs. What was the difference maker? Was it a mindset? Was it a follow-up process you had? Was it a charisma you had in these auditions? What do you think it was?
Honestly, I think it was made up of two things. I think it was my absolute love for dance, just love for movement. Like I really, really love it. Like dance is my passion. So more than like, oh, we have to learn steps for this audition combo and stuff like that. I'm like, yo, I'm in class. This is amazing. And like, I get to dance next to this person and that dance next to that. So even in auditions, I'm dancing like I'm on stage. And loving life. So I think that it serves as a bridge to connection for people that are casting you, because you'd love to look at people that love to do what they do, period. You know what I mean? Whether they're in front of you or if they're over there in the corner practicing, there's something about it that like kind of catches your eye. So my love for movement, and then also just the drive. Like I wanted nothing more than to dance. Do you know what I mean? And again, I'm from Montgomery, Alabama. And Montgomery, Alabama, you know, the dance community is very, very, very small.
Yeah.
And amongst males, it's even smaller.
It's like 30 dudes.
Not even that.
Like 10 dudes who are doing something.
Absolutely. And doing something maybe low-key because, you know, the fellas play sports there. You know, college football is like a religion for us. You
absolutely.
Know, Alabama or Auburn, right?
Yeah.
You know, so to come up and be like, oh, I dance, you know, that's
it's not a masculine thing.
It's not a masculine thing. And it's a choice, you know. But when I made that choice, though, that was it. There was nothing else. And just like those two things, you know, just the absolute love for what I do and tunnel vision focus. Like I said, when you're out here for a couple of years and if things happen for you or if they don't, you still tend to get a little jaded about what's going on. So you get some of the new booties that come in and they're like, this is life. This is it. Like, I don't care what happens. Like, I'm going to every single audition, like I'm going to class whether I'm tired or not. Like, every day, you know, right? What I mean? And even at the end of the day, I'm spending my last hours of the day practicing in my
mirror,
living room.
Right, yeah.
And even if it's on carpet and it's like the floor is hard to dance on, every night we're dancing. Do you know what I mean?
Amazing.
It's those factors that I think.
So you were
separate.
Doing that.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like you're living. You're being
I love what I do. When I leave here, I'm going to the studio, not really? To practice for anything, but just to practice
yourself.
Yeah.
No one else will be there.
I mean, I've invited some people. If they show, fantastic. Wow. If not, I'll still be good. Wow. You
so know you're still embodying that drive,
of course.
Even after you've made it to a certain point.
Of course.
Number of movies on Ellen, all these different things.
Of course.
Every single day, you're living like it's your first week out here.
Of course.
Wow.
There's still so much more that I would like to do. So I can't get comfortable. I can't.
Yeah.
There hasn't been a time yet where I've been like, all right, I've arrived.
Yeah,
I'm
really?
Good. You know, I'm in here. I'm good.
Huh.
Because there's still so much to do, and maybe that's one of the gifts and curses of the human condition is that, like, that word more. Do you know what I mean?
It's just never
like
enough.
Like, wow, this is great, but more. Like, just like you have an incredible podcast, you have a book, you get to interview people from around the world and things like that. But I'm sure there's times for you where you're like, okay, but now what? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if we stop pushing our boundaries, then we start getting comfortable and we start slowly dying, in my opinion.
Exactly.
If we're not
yes.
growing, then yes. what are we doing?
Exactly. Exactly.
So it's like, yes, we want more, but it's like, I want more growth.
Exactly.
I want to see what I'm possible of creating.
Absolutely.
And doing myself.
Exactly.
Just to inspire myself.
Of course.
And hopefully be a symbol of inspiration for others.
Exactly. I mean, we're here to maximize our potential, period.
That's it.
You know, that's why we're here.
Yeah.
You know?
Who are the dancers that inspire you the most in the industry?
The dancers that inspire me most, I mean, it goes from, you know, across generations. I mean, I could start with, you know, of course, Gene Kelly and Fred Astaire, Sid Charisse, uh-huh. like all of those. And then I move into the music video era that I grew up in. I mean, uh-huh. Late 80s, early 90s, when, like, music videos used to have like dance breaks,
sick
and
dance.
Stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Michael Jackson, Janet Jackson,
yeah.
You know, Travis Payne, who choreographed for Michael Jackson and danced with Michael Jackson for so long. And then Tina Landon, Shaunette Hurd, and then moving into this generation, my wife, honestly, and not even because I'm married to her. Before I was married to her, before I even knew her, I was like, that girl's the truth. You
really?
Know what I mean? Yo.
Well, that's probably why you married her.
It's,
you were like,
I mean,
she's like, give me that.
She is the embodiment of what a dancer is. A dancer is what music looks like. Do you know what I mean? Like that's what it is. It's like a deaf person would be able to watch a dancer and be like, I think it might. I think that it maybe sounds like this or that movement. That movement must feel like this. That's Allison. Do you know what I mean? It, like, to a T. She embodies it. She's incredible, you know? Wade Robson is like, at the top of my... He's one of my heroes, man.
And wow.
And always has been.
Wow.
You know? My boy Link. Sorry, I'm just like... Now I'm name-dropping. I'm like, this guy... You know? But Link, he was one of my first teachers, one of the pioneers of what we know as street dance today, and not street dance as in b-boying, popping, mm-hmm. or locking, which are all different styles, right? And these are the cats that you know, you saw in Heavy D videos. These are the cats that dance with Big Daddy Kane.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like the like where we get the Running Man, the Reebok, the uh-huh. you know, all of those things. This guy helped create all of those
That's
things
cool.
and facilitate all of those things. So
wow.
it is, man. I'm picking up inspiration from everywhere.
Who's the guy? Oh, man. I'm going to forget his name right now. There's a guy in the UK. He's a short dude who's like the most incredible breakdancer I've ever seen. He's kind of like, he's on his hands a lot, just like, almost like a gorilla. Like with he's doing like push-ups.
Junior?
Junior.
Junior.
Oh, my
yeah.
gosh.
Oh,
this
yeah.
guy's a freak.
Unbelievable.
Of nature.
That's what I'm saying. It's like,
So good. Have you met him or no?
It's so yeah. I've seen him. I've seen him. I don't know him well, but I've seen him. Incredible.
The videos I see, I'm like, how does a human do this?
Yeah, exactly. And even after seeing the videos, seeing it live, you're like, you can really do that. Like, you know, I mean, like
it's not a trick.
That's not a video effect. You can do that. Like,
it's amazing
and effortlessly. You know what I mean? And it's like, see, that's what I'm saying. It's just like, where do you go after that, right? Like, you know, because, you know, in the 80s, the late 70s, when b-boying just started, you know, they're doing footwork, they're spinning on their backs, they're spinning on their heads, spinning on their hands, and you're thinking, whoa, like, they're defying gravity. This is amazing. This is blowing my mind. Fast forward to now, it's like, where can you even go now?
It's like,
you know what
Bruce Lee like, meets Ultimate Ninja Warrior dancing. You know, like, it's like three spins and flips and karate kicks.
Absolutely. Like flipping yourself around on one hand, but the next thing they're just literally going to start spinning on their face, like, you know,
the
what
nose,
I mean?
Like just a
face,
nose,
just
spin.
A straight nose spin, like that. So, you know, what I mean? Like that's going to be
put
the next
pen
thing.
In their mouth, and just like on the pen, you know.
That's it. Yeah.
Amazing, man. And then we were talking before. There's so many incredibly young, talented kids who are like defying all these
of
things,
course,
like doing things that no one's ever done before. Mm-hmm. These like 10-year-olds,
exactly. Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
It is incredible, man. So you think you can dance. The next generation just went off, man, and they completely switched their format to a younger contestant, which were from 7 to 14, I believe.
It's crazy.
And through that entire gamut, man, I mean, the artistry that the youth is capable of nowadays, it's really incredible. And it actually – watching them actually kind of gave me a little bit of a paradigm shift because I'm not sure if you have fallen into this saying, you know, when you'd be like, oh, this next generation, like, you know, they can easily be very lazy because everything's so push button.
Sure.
Kind of shifted it for me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because when put in the proper circumstances and pushed, they're incredible. I mean,
creativity,
just capable of
drive.
Of the most amazing, amazing things. You know what I mean? So yeah, I'm really excited to see what this next generation is about to do with the art form of dance. I'm really excited about it.
It's amazing. Yeah. Now, did you play sports at all growing up?
You know, I tried sports, man. I tried it. I wasn't blessed with the competitive edge of like, my team is going to beat your team outside of dance.
Right,
you know
right.
what I mean?
Like our crew's going to beat your
crew. Yeah, absolutely. Now then I'm like, okay, let's
go.
But you know, not growing up, I didn't discover that until I was out here. But, you know, football, didn't even try it. Like,
that's
I was
funny,
like,
man.
There is nothing about me being out there and trying to run into somebody else that I'm not trying to. It's just
it's an
not
incredible sport,
happen.
But you're not missing. I mean – you didn't miss out on all the head trauma that I
exactly.
faced and a lot of guys faced and the injuries. And
you know, the boys in Alabama, like,
they're huge, man.
Well, you know,
they don't mess around.
You running full speed at me?
No. No, head-to-head.
No. Yeah.
Exactly. I played before they had the rules of, like, the head-to-head contact. Whew. That's all. We only hit with the head.
Absolutely.
And,
You know, like,
crazy,
so me, I completely dodged that. Tried baseball. I'm a creative type. They had me out there in center field.
It's too boring.
I did nothing but daydream.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So, and basketball, just it was cool, but like
you didn't feel it. Yeah.
Just didn't feel it.
So who
know?
Inspired you to get into dance or what?
Honestly, it is dance is just something that it's always been there. It really has. It's always been there. Dance is something that has literally always gotten me very, very excited and super passionate even before I knew what passion was. You know what I mean? Dancing and being on stage, those two things. I remember in first grade was the first time that I ever was on a stage play. And I remember getting so excited that, like, the moment I came out on stage and hearing the audience, kind of connecting with the audience, I was like, what is this? Like, you know, it was the most amazing thing. I ran off stage. I went to the principal. I was like, yo, can we do it again tomorrow? Can we do it? You know, but you know, as kids, you know, you get exposed to many different things.
Yeah.
And I didn't actually find the performing arts until much later. But watching music videos, hearing music that I love dancing to. I was constantly making up dance routines in my room. But again, you know, when you are the first dancer or person that wants to pursue dance of your family, then nobody in the family is going to look at you and be like, yo, we should put him in dance classes. They're just right. like, oh, he likes to dance. Like, hey, come out here and do a dance routine
right, for us real quick.
You know?
Yeah,
exactly. We're at the family reunion. Come out here and dance real quick. And right. You know, absolutely. You know, and then that be that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
The thing is, to answer your question, it has always been there. You know, it's the thing that has literally been a driving force. I could, you know, I know there's some guys that, you know, watch basketball games, football games, boom. Mm-hmm. You know, they love paying attention to the highlights and that fuels them and being like, yo, I'm about to go super hard at practice the next day because did you see better not do this? Da, 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 da. You know, it's that same thing of like when Michael Jackson premiered, you know, the Scream video, or if when I saw Janet Jackson, All Right, like that dance breakdown, this was before YouTube.
I mean, yeah, of course. So, it was an MTV video.
Yeah, if I wasn't ready for with the VHS to record it, I had to burn everything into memory and be like, I think they did something like this, and boom, you know, that's what it was. That's what dance was for me. So it has always been that passionate driving force, and it was what I wanted to do before I knew that I wanted to do it.
Right.
You know.
And so once you got older, were your parents kind of pushing you into it and encouraging it more? And
no,
cultivating
it was it struck them as quite the surprise because, like I said, we didn't have any you know anybody pursuing dance in the family, you know. So when I said that I wanted to dance, they were like, oh,
right.
Oh, really? Okay, you know, because they don't know what that means, you know. Mm-hmm. Just like I said. The deal with my grandfather was if I could move out as long as I was in school for a backup plan. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Because he was like, okay, that you want to dance. I don't know how far that can go as a career. So, like, let's back that up a little bit, which is completely understandable, you know.
Sure.
So, with that, I dabbled in theater. And in the theater, I got cast as a dancer in The Wiz, and that's what started the snowball effect.
Amazing,
is that I was like, wait a minute, do you guys take dance classes out here? Yeah, we take over here. Okay, cool, I'm going to come to class with you. Oh, I can take class for free as long as I take ballet? Cool, like I'm going to stay here and do this.
Yeah.
And there it was like, oh, wait, you go to my high school. There's a dance team at our high school? I'm going to try out for that. There are no guys. All right, cool. It's all good.
right.
So I was the first guy on my high school dance team.
Now, I'm curious. I mean, what year were you born?
1982.
82. 82. 82. I was 83. Yeah. So in the you know early 90s in middle school and high school, especially in Alabama, you know, that's not seen as a masculine thing.
Right.
So were you bullied or were you made fun of a lot by guys?
You know, I was made fun of quite a bit. Not bullied because I still had my size about me. You know what I mean?
You're
like
big.
So I was tall, still had my size about me, and they knew that I was agile. You know what I mean? So it's just like that. It was like, yo, don't let the turns fool you. I could like, you know, I could you know, like it's
funny.
But they made fun of me. Mm-hmm. They made fun of me quite a bit.
Really?
But you know what? I don't fault them, and even then, it didn't get to me that much because for some reason, I still didn't fault them. Do you know what I mean? Because it's like, of course you're gonna make fun of me because what other examples do you have of someone doing this than me right now? You know, you know, in my younger days, of course, I fell into that category too. If I saw somebody doing something that I'd never seen before, or that I had a certain stereotype doing, of course I made fun of them. You know what I mean? So it never reached the point of violence or anything like that. You know, it was only words, man. And then as time went on, then they started to eat their words.
And without, they see you without, on stage without performing me, and absolutely. Like the talent yes. shows, and you're like, oh, damn, this 100%,
you know? Yeah, and while they're calling me, you know, and, you know, no disrespect, just saying, while they're calling, they're like, oh, you're gay, like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. But then they get to see, like, okay, cool, like, let's break this down. You play football, okay? Mm-hmm. I dance. After school, I'm going to go spend the rest of my afternoon
with 30 with girls.
Only girls. Yeah. You're going to spend the rest of right. your afternoon wrestling with dudes.
Right.
And when the night is over, when we go get some food, mm-hmm. I'm probably going to be hanging out with your girlfriend. Like, right. you know what I mean? Because, like, we're all going to this right, place right, here.
To hang.
And you'll still be with the dudes. Right. So, like, after a while, they go, oh, that's kind of cool. You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. You know.
So, did you ever feel emasculated or, like you weren't man enough because you weren't playing sports or hanging out with the dudes or?
There were times of that, and it wasn't necessarily because I wasn't playing sports, but there are times. You know, even still to this day, because I never really latched on to sports, like following sports and why, you know, and sports is like one of the greatest common denominators amongst the male. Do you know what I mean? I've been in situations, which I'm sure you have too, where I've seen two people that do not know each other mm-hmm. at all. Have the longest conversation.
Right, right.
You know, just talking about sports and stuff yeah. like that. So not necessarily feeling emasculated and things like that, but there are certain things that I missed as far as a social dynamic because I chose to involve myself in the arts and not necessarily pay attention to things like that.
Right.
So I feel like that's kind of where a void is there because, like, when we start talking about stats and boom, right, right. boom, I'm kind of like,
care. You're like, whatever.
Yeah,
like, you're like running man out of there.
I'm like, hey, yeah, I'm out of here. Yeah, you know, but it is what it is, man. And it's all love.
Do you feel? I mean, being out in LA and being in the culture and the community with dancing world and the entertainment mm-hmm. world, do you feel embraced?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I feel very, very, very yeah. embraced, man, because listen, as competitive as the world and realm of show business is, and speaking specifically about dance, it's still a very, very small community.
Tiny you know, community,
it's
right?
Very, very small community.
There's only like, what, 15, 20 top choreographers maybe, absolutely, right, who man. Do like everyone's absolutely. Shows.
Exactly. And because once you stick through it and you are able to get on, then there is work for you because you have the experience
yeah.
and you have the know-how to talk to this person to make this happen and this and that. Yeah. You know, it's so the world is not really that big. So yes, I am embraced and yeah. I embrace even all of those that are new to it. I sure. remember what it was to be new to it. You yeah. know,
22, and, fresh out of college, man, coming here,
what
being like the hottest dancer in your school, trying to make it here.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Very, very, very small fish syndrome. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like exactly. You know, it's in rural Alabama where I went to community college, a place called Wadley, Alabama. We had maybe two stoplights, wow. probably. You know, yeah, of course. I was like the dancing guy there, you know. And then you come out here and I'm like, whoa, everybody here is amazing.
Yeah.
But I was still young, dumb. So I was like, I'm amazing too. Here we go.
Went for it.
Yeah, exactly.
You didn't hold back.
Of course.
What's your process like now when you go into an audition? Do you pretty much just get like booked without having to audition now because people know what you can do for TV, movies, or commercials, whatever it may be? Or do you have a practice when you're going into an audition where you're like, here's the routine and walk us through it if you do have one.
Well, when it comes to dance performances now I'm blessed to say that if they want me for a dance performance or something like that, then they just call and directly book.
They've seen videos. They've seen videos a million times. They don't need to see you again.
Yeah, they know what I do now.
Amazing.
And that is incredible. What I do audition for now, I've been really studying acting. I've been on a lot of acting auditions. So with that, it is a completely different because all the physicalities are a little more internally driven and not so big, like, you know,
it's
what
more
I mean?
Facial it's motion. It's more like
yes,
the
yeah.
eyes,
and that
like...
and that is the, that's the hardest switch there. That is, so as far as process of auditioning for that goes, it's about dialing it down. It's about dialing it down for me because standing on stage, even sitting here talking to you now, like I move, I yeah, talk, yeah, yeah. I lean, I use my hands. And that, apparently,
too much
that does not look good on TV or film. Do
right.
you know what I mean?
right.
So, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So you don't have to do any dance auditions right now, then? They're all booked.
I haven't done a dance audition.
How many years?
Since 2008.
Even for like Magic Mike or a movie where you're dancing in, they're
even,
just like,
yeah,
oh, we know we want them.
Even for Magic Mike, which is such a blessing, but Channing was just a fan from.
He's out. We just need him.
Yeah, and he was just like, yo, I have this role in mind, and you are who I wanted to play for the role. So that was incredible. You
wow.
know? But I'll say this too, though, man. It's like I said, the world is very, very small, and there are those that once you reach a certain amount of time putting in work. People know exactly what you do,
right?
And you establish incredible working relationships. So therefore, when they're like, "Oh, okay, we need a person that does this."
Yeah.
Oh, call Twitch. Oh, call this person.
Right.
Oh, call that person. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It just does. It happens
yeah, yeah.
like that, and I imagine it happens like that in pretty much any
yeah.
industry.
Same with
know?
This too. If you know, I get asked to speak at different events if they want this person to,
yes.
to do a workshop on
yes.
a specific topic about
exactly.
you know,
yeah.
greatness. It's
exactly.
like, oh, call Lewis.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly.
So
yeah.
it's similar in this industry. What's been the most incredible movie you've worked on where you're just like, I can't believe this is happening with all these people and the things I get to do? And
man, it's there's been a bunch, and it is just because, like, now, Dwight, just to be clear, you said movie
that you're in.
Movie. I'd have to say Step Up 3D, man.
Oh, 3D, all right.
Yeah.
It's big, it's, huh?
Just because.
It was all dance, right?
All dance. And we were all, they moved us to New York for 3.5 months. And it's like, this is work, but like. It doesn't feel like work.
Just dancing all day, like
because
hanging out.
We're dancing and, you know. All the homies are out there, you know. We're staying right there in Times Square.
Amazing.
I think that has been my favorite as far as a film experience has mm-hmm. gone so far, just because that honestly was the culmination of everything from the beginning. Do you know what I mean? Like me watching Beat Street and Breaking to Electric Boogaloo. I'm like, man, what would it be like to do that? And, you know, and
amazing.
Then I feel like the Step Ups are those movies of this generation,
yeah.
you know, the Beat Streets and the Breakins,
sure.
and, you know, all that stuff like that. You have your Step Ups.
right.
And this one was the biggest one as far as cast goes.
Mm-hmm.
Huge. It was all the homies.
Yeah.
All of them.
Was John Chu the director?
John Chu was the director.
He's been out here. I love John, man.
Yes.
He's a talented dude.
Really talented dude, and also a director that genuinely loves dancing.
He loves it. Didn't he start like the League of Extraordinary?
Yes, League of Extraordinary LXD. Yes.
It's amazing,
absolutely.
Right?
Which he brought this center, like he introduced filming movement in this like incredibly beautiful cinematic way. You know what I mean? It's just like even though it's not ballet, it felt like it was ballet. It was elegant. It was graceful, but it was street dance, you know? It was
amazing,
man.
It's
so
cool.
Good. Yeah.
Who was the most influential person in your life growing up?
Most influential person in my life? It would have to be my mother, honestly. Mm. My mother. Because, you know, my mom is easily one of the strongest women I know. Easy. Because to raise boys by yourself, that's huge. That's huge. Yeah. You know? And also not only just to raise us, but to work so hard that you also give your children the feeling of not necessarily wanting, right? You know what I mean? Like we were not impoverished by any means. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like I now that I've grown up, I've spoken with many people, you know, and even when I was a kid, spoken with many people that was like in a completely different situation than I was, which opened my eyes a lot. You know, Mom worked really hard to make sure that we had everything that we needed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if there was a way that she couldn't make that happen, she would find somehow to collaborate with somebody to make these things happen. Do you know what I mean?
Like, so you never felt like you were in need
of
something.
I never felt like I was like in the things that I actually needed that I never got.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Things I wanted, of course. Like, you know, as a kid, you want everything. You want everything. Yeah. Like those things.
Toys,
but the things that, exactly. But the things that I needed, you know, and the things that, not just material, but things up here too for survival.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And for me, it's remarkable too, because being a parent now, you know, I can't imagine what it would be like to raise two children that are the opposite sex of you. Do you know what I mean? Like, and you know, because listen, as a parent, you provide everything, you all of the love that you need. But then there are certain things, you know, as parents, you balance each other out.
Absolutely.
You know, but if you take one part of that equation away, and it's just this one person, I mean, that I have no idea what that would be like. And
crazy.
She did it.
Amazing.
And she did it. And I saw that then. I see it now. Again, now that I am a parent, it makes me double back and be like, wow, thank you.
She was amazing, yeah.
Incredible.
And was your father not in the picture?
You know, my father was not in the – he was – I'll say this. He was there, but he was not actively involved. Mm-hmm. You know, we were in the same town. One of my brothers, we share the same father, you know. And my father and I had the relationship that we did just because our mothers took it upon themselves to be like, no, they're brothers, so they're going to stay close.
Right.
So I would see my father when I was visiting with my brother.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? And that relationship kind of went from there. But as an active father, not necessarily. No.
Is he still around today, or is he?
He's still around.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I talk to him every now and then. You know, of course, I talk to him every now and then. But it's not like, you know,
it's not your dad.
Yeah, I get it.
Do you feel like there was something in you that made you so driven to go create and express and move to LA and be driven?
Mm-hmm.
Because he wasn't there in any way, or do you feel like it would have been different if he was there?
You know, I'd like to say that it was that, but I'll say this though, is that I have always been that type that you know, don't tell me what I won't do. Do you know what I mean? Don't tell me what I can't do. Do you know what I mean? And I do remember there was a time. And I remember it vividly. I remember talking to him outside of his work in the parking lot, and I was telling him, "Hey, I'm joining the dance team. I'm going to need some I'm going to need some shoes, you know, and some money to get some like supplies and this and that." And he went on this tangent about like, "Oh, I thought I'd be buying you cleats and da 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 da." And that again, like not even really taking it personally, like, oh, I can't believe you say something like that to me. But I was like, oh, so that means I'm really supposed to do this then. Like, that means, like, okay, cool. So that means that I'm going to be the example of, like, oh, you've never heard of somebody doing this, but it can actually happen. I'm going to show you how it can happen. Do you know what I mean? So it was more fuel. So I guess to answer your question, yeah, and not like major fuel, not like the reason, but it was definitely fuel, because it was more it was more along the lines of like, maybe you don't think that I can do this.
You don't approve or
whatever. Yeah. Maybe you don't think, or maybe you don't approve, only because you don't know. But I'm going to show you. And over the years, I have. It's been fantastic.
Do you feel like if he was around, you'd be in this place right now?
You know what? Honestly, I think if he. I really do think if he was around, I might have been out there clashing helmets with you, man.
Really?
Yeah. Because he played football.
No way.
He played football. Yeah.
You don't think he'd be dancing and doing what you're doing?
I don't think so.
Wow.
I don't think so.
So it's almost a blessing really that don't. He wasn't around.
Yeah. I mean, you know, anything can happen in a hypothetical, I can't say it's a blessing that he wasn't around. You know, maybe I would have been just as happy. I will say this, man, everything happens for a reason.
Absolutely.
And you make the absolute best of it as best as you can.
Absolutely.
You know? And you take it one day at a time.
What is the biggest lesson your mother and your father both taught you about being a parent now? Both of them. What was the lesson
both of them taught you? From my father's side, it just is presence. Presence being the most significant thing. Like your presence is the greatest present. Period. You know what I mean? Like you just being there. Like I remember when I was waiting for my son to be born, I was thinking like, okay, like, you know, I didn't have this ongoing example. So what am I going to do when this happens? And what am I going to do when this happens? Like, because I don't have those things to draw back on and be like, well, my father told me, you know,
right.
So I'm thinking, oh my God. But then when he's there and I held him and I'm just like, oh, I just gotta be here. You know what I mean? I just gotta be here, and then we'll take these times one day at a time with each other. You know, and that's been great. And then with my mother, man, it's just that sacrifice, like that when you have this life that depends on you, like you have to put things in priority. You know, you have to prioritize, you know, because that's exactly what my mother did. And honestly, this is nothing that she has told me. This is nothing like, yo, when you have a child, like, you know, you got to prioritize. This is something that I see from example. Do you know what I mean? This is how I saw her living. She made it happen.
Yeah.
And it's the same. And I take on that same thing that no matter what happens, I'm going to make it happen. No matter what happens, you know.
Did you ever feel like, you know, as your career was growing and you're getting all these opportunities, that having a child and getting married and having, you know, a family would, you know, get in the way in a sense of your career or of your dreams? Did you ever feel that?
Yeah, well, of course. You know, when I was growing up, I used to say when I was growing up, I was like, oh, I'm gonna get married when I have nothing else to do. I remember keep saying that, like, I'll get married when I got nothing else to do. And then as I grew up, though, especially growing up, I think in the South, or it might even just be like the eastern part of the country, people get married, you know what I mean? Like
early.
we get married early. It's like a rush. Like we're like, yo,
right,
what are you
college,
doing? Like what are you doing after high school or even in college? Like, hey, like, you know, no, I'm getting married. That's what I'm doing, you know. And you know, as I got older, that did start to happen. But my the hunger to get out here and do this and create art and be an artist and all that was way heavier than getting married and having kids. Now, all of that was there still. It was still there. But I made sure that I wanted to do this first because, again, from mom's example, the sacrifice.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I knew that amongst those things, it like having a family and stuff like that, I'm not going to be able to freely travel about and just to meet. I mean, some people do it. Listen, some people do it and it works out phenomenally. I knew for myself, though, that while making these moves and taking calculated risks and things like that, that it was best to do that solo for a little bit before I had a wife and kids to be like, rather than walking into an audition being like, man, I really need this job. Do you know what I mean?
Because you've got a foundation now. You've got your credibility. Exactly. Things are coming to you.
Absolutely.
Not like, where am I going to pay for rent the next month?
100%.
Yeah, yeah.
100%.
So now do you feel like it was just good timing for you that like, hey, this is, you know, I can have a family, have kids, and it's not going to take away, but it's going to add and enrich my life at this
perfect
point?
Perfect timing, man.
Is that
it was perfect. It was perfect timing, honestly.
You're 34,
it's
right?
I'm 34 now. And it was just like the timing could not have been more divine, honestly. Mm. You know, and this is getting into a really esoteric place, right? Do you know what I mean? But it is everything has its own time.
Yeah.
Period. It really does. And as soon as I trusted that, it did. Everything just really unfolded even from me coming out here. You know, just coming out here, the jobs that I was involved in, the people that I got involved with that led to other things and this and that, because there were so many times that my wife and I were supposed to meet on different jobs and for some reason either one of us canceled and we didn't. So we met at the right time.
Because if you'd have met earlier, maybe it would have been
it might not have worked out. Yeah, it might not have worked out. And even when we met on a season of So You Think You Can Dance when we were both doing All Stars, we didn't really talk through the entire season. Huh. We didn't talk at all. Like there wasn't like this big build up to like
this chemistry
It happened at exactly the right moment. And then after that moment, we both decided, you know, that this is right. And then also because she had a daughter from a previous relationship, and even the timing of that, because, you know, we kind of had our thing going, and then the timing of like, okay, now it's time to introduce you to Wesley, you know, and those things happened. And as we went on, and I'm like, okay, now is the time to be like, I'm going to propose to you. Like,
wow.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it just.
How old was her daughter when you met?
She was two.
Two. So two. Maybe if you would have met when she was one, she would have been ready for a relationship or to have an
experience.
Yeah, like, she was phasing out of the other one still.
Exactly. You know, so again, it's everything had its own perfect timing. And the moment that I stopped trying to rut and trying to control so much of like, I'm not ready for that. I don't think I'm ready. You just kind of trust it. You just trust the process.
Mm-hmm.
It really did everything just literally. And when I say literally unfolded, just literally unfolded, man.
Wow.
And it was perfect. Even to us having our son.
Amazing.
Right? The timing could not have been more perfect.
What's it like for two dancers to be together all the time? Are you guys like constantly like breaking and like doing your thing?
Or
is there a conflict because you guys are both doing the same thing?
No, it's actually, you know, what's great about it is that Allison does everything. Like she was just on Dancing with the Stars. I'm not going to do this. You know what I mean? Because, so we kind of cover two different realms of dance, which really
she can do ballroom.
She can do ball.
That's
she
not your thing.
Yeah, that's not my thing at all. Yeah, but she can do ballroom. She can do ballroom, jazz,
dance.
Contemporary. She can do everything. You know,
modern tap.
Absolutely,
yeah.
She can do it. And me, I do street dance. I can I've taken those classes and things like that. And but I do street dance. So we're kind of like this. We kind of cover two different areas, which really works out. It really works out in our favor because we can go and teach in two different in the same place and offer two different things.
Amazing.
Rather than, you know, if we were two street dancers or two, I don't know. Like, you know, I don't know. There's the competition is not. is not necessarily there because we do two different things, and it's great. And at home, man, we dance to like the classics, man. We dancing to Frank Sinatra.
That's cool.
You know, we got the lounge jams on. You know what I
like
mean?
It.
Like we just kind of slow dance around. We do the intense dancing
for work. Yeah.
You know, so
for
at
everyone
home,
else.
Yeah, exactly. So at home, man, we keep it chill.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What's the thing that inspires you the most about your wife?
Okay. So if I had to choose, if I had to choose one thing, man, it would be her constant, undying ability to make it work.
Huh.
Like, to make it work, you know, just to give
two
you,
kids,
just to give you back. Yeah.
Husband,
just to, absolutely.
Career.
And killing it. Just had a child, and he's 6 months now. Had a child
and now
6 months
with
ago.
The stars.
Was just on Dancing with the Stars. Body incredible. Back in it like she never left. Even when she was pregnant with Maddox, like she was still dancing. She filmed the HP commercial that she's now nominated for a World Choreography Award for. When she was 3 months pregnant, you know what I mean?
Crazy.
In a unitard, body banging. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, but either way it goes though, she has this ability to look at the cards that are dealt and make it work. You know what I mean? She's a very solution driven person rather than being like, oh, how's this affecting me? Oh, I don't know. She's like, okay, what do we got? Okay, this is what we're gonna do to make it work. Like, she goes for the solution and it's undone.
She's not a victim.
She's not
like, oh, I've got so much to do. How am I gonna figure this out? What was me?
Ever.
Cool. Here's a challenge. Let's make it work.
Ever. You know
That's
what
great.
I mean?
She's responsible for her life.
Absolutely.
That's great.
Even her coming out here from Los Angeles, she's from Utah. You know, she made the decision to move out to Los Angeles, her and her daughter Wesley. Wesley was one at the time.
Right.
And what was going to happen? She didn't know. But like, she was like, I'm going to make it happen. And she did. And it's incredible. Yeah.
Amazing, man.
Absolutely.
What's the your message to young artists and performers who are trying to figure out their path or that have this energy inside of them, this fuel, but they're worried or scared or don't know where to go or how to make it work or it's intimidating? And
honestly, man, it's if you have something on your heart that is undying and you want and you feel like you have to create it, you have to do it, then you must do it, period. And that seems like the most simple, the most cliche answer, right? But the power in the decision of making a choice to be like, I'm gonna do it, and I don't know where it's gonna take me, but it's on my heart, and I'm gonna do it, and I'm gonna see it through to completion. That in itself already kind of lays out the path for you. To just doing what you love to do. B, finding like-minded people that could help you, and if not help you, just support you in what you're doing.
Right.
You know, you just got to do it and make a decision. And also, listen, don't listen to the naysayers. If you got it on your heart, like nobody feels your heart like you do. You know what I mean? And they don't feel it, and they're not going to feel it until much later, if they ever do. You know what I mean? Like for what we talked about earlier, the people that were at my high school, the naysayers, they feel what I was talking about now. Do you know what I mean? Like it but it took me being like, oh, okay, cool, like you just don't see it yet.
Now they're like your biggest fans. I went to school with that guy.
I remember when you danced back in the day, bro. You know,
that's good stuff, bro.
Yeah, you know. So it's just it's trusting yourself, and I think that's honestly, and I'm sure you know that it is one of the hardest concepts to grasp when you're younger. It's just to trust in yourself and know that like what's inside is going to map out everything that you need.
It's hard
to
trust yourself too, I think, when your parents are saying don't do it.
Absolutely.
Family's saying you should do this instead.
Exactly.
Friends
are like,
everyone wants to be part of a community.
Yes.
especially their friends and family, they want them to appreciate, and we want to be, you know, we want to please others.
Exactly.
And this is a challenging thing for me. When I left to go play, to go for my professional football dream, all my I wasn't the best player on my team in college, the fastest, biggest, strongest, but I had the biggest heart, the biggest drive. And I, you know, I had some talent, enough to make it, but I think I lost a lot of friends from college.
Right.
A lot of my teammates, they didn't support me because they stayed back and did other things and thought I should do that as well. I thought I was better by going after my dream.
Right.
And it sucked because I try to reach out to friends and they wouldn't get back to me. And I, you know, and you kind of lose a community by going after a new dream or a new community.
100%.
And it's, it can be challenging.
Very. And, you know, that is, it's very challenging. It's, and that often sometimes is the hardest part of a transition sometimes.
Yeah.
Is letting go of those things before you continue to move on. It's very hard, you know. It is very, very hard, but you know, sometimes your heart is going to be your biggest fan. You know, like you said, like, you might not have been the biggest, the fastest, you know, or whatever, but if you have heart, though, if you have heart,
you got it,
you know. If you can stand in the midst of people saying no, like, and you can go, okay, I hear you, but I'm still gonna do it. You know, you got it.
That's it, man.
That's the secret.
Yeah. What's something you're most proud of that not a lot of people know about you?
That I'm most proud of that not a lot of people know about me. I learned to solve a Rubik's cube, so that's tight.
Really?
That's tight.
How fast can you do it?
I can do it in my fastest time. And sorry for the speed cubers out there. Sorry, this is not going to be flattering for you. Okay, it's not going to be tight. But my fastest time was like 1:15.
That's amazing. I remember watching YouTube tutorials for a while, for like a few days, trying to figure it out, and I finally got it to where I could get it. But I had to watch the tutorials so many times, so I didn't memorize the pattern.
Yeah.
But now you're going to make me want to get back and do it. Dude, it's a nice little party trick, right?
It's such a good party trick. You know what I mean? It's just like when you see – it is. It's rare that you see one because you always see them mixed up and you're like
– I got this.
I'm going to do this while I'm talking to you. Like, you know, no big deal. It, you know,
so you're not a one-trick pony. You don't just break dance for people.
I can also solve Rubik's cubes.
There you go.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, when you're tired of choreography, if you need a professional Rubik's cubes offer.
Exactly, that's great.
But that's cool. I mean, that's just that was just kind of off the top of the head. But at the same time, man, I honestly, something I'm proud of that not a lot of people know. I'm not really sure, man.
Yeah, you know, everything's pretty out there.
I feel like everything's pretty out there, man.
Yeah.
It's I've enjoyed the entire experience, the whole journey, man. You know,
what's the biggest adversity or challenge you've faced in the last 7 years?
Biggest adversity and challenge. Yeah.
It just seems like you get all the things you want. Man. You manifest. You've got the relationship, the family, the gigs. You're consistent. You're on Ellen, the DJ and dancer on Ellen. Mm-hmm. How long have you been doing that for?
I've been doing that for 4 years now.
Amazing.
4 years. Yeah,
it's like one of the biggest shows on TV.
Absolutely.
And you're always featured. You're always shown every show, right?
Absolutely. It's a great show. Yeah, yeah. We have a little back and forth every show, which is fantastic. The greatest adversity, man, honestly, it's my greatest adversity is still to this day is mastering self-assurance. Do you know what I mean?
With all of these
opportunities that come, and man, this is great. Like, I'd look, because I'd also love to just kind of get your take on this too. You're welcome, internet. With this, like, with all of the opportunities that come, of course, you know, we're big dreamers. We dream big. We manifest things. They do come. But when these opportunities show themselves, there's a moment where a little Gemini side comes out and goes, "You're not ready for that." You know what I mean? Or it goes, "Wow, I'm not ready for this." Or, "Wow, I'm a little scared." Or, "What was there a mistake here? Are they sure that they
picked the right
me?"
guy?
Like, you know, it's still to this day.
Really?
Absolutely. And you know, and of course, with practice, you get in there and you make it happen, and you get in and you realize, like, oh yeah, I'm ready for it. But still to this day, I feel like that is one of the, if not the greatest adversity, because what greater adversity is there other than me trying to defeat myself? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Because
that's
like
it,
you can defeat yourself before anybody could get to you. Do you know what I mean? Like a inkling of an idea that you might think is great, you might talk yourself down before you can even tell anybody about it. So that's that it. You're already not just fighting an uphill battle. You haven't even taken the first step up the hill. Like you won't even allow yourself to go that path because there's something in you that's kind of like you know what I mean, like
there's a great podcast, there's a story called The One You Feed of the Two Wolves. I don't know if you've heard of this story. There's two wolves inside of us,
right,
there's the bad wolf and the good wolf,
right,
the one that takes you down and the one that lifts you up,
right,
and moves you forward,
right.
Which one, you have a decision every day, which one you feed,
right,
which exactly. wolf are you going to feed inside of you?
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's a lot of our challenges, is one of the reasons I have this podcast that I keep doing it is to feed the good wolf inside of people.
Right.
To give people the tools and information and inspiring stories like yourself.
Right.
To show them what's possible.
Right.
You know, mental food.
Exactly.
Soul
exactly.
food.
Of course.
Real soul
Absolutely.
Food. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
that's
a great thought about the adversity. So.
It's a necessity, man. You know what I mean? And that's I applaud you for it. Like I said, I listen.
I appreciate it.
And it's and just know that it's which I'm sure you've seen by the way that it's grown. Like
it's insane.
It's a necessity.
It's amazing,
I feel like this is an adversity that I'm not going to say all, but most people go through, unless you're Kanye West. And
even then, I bet he doubts himself.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, then he has an inner Kanye.
That's crazy. Yeah. You know, one of the things I try to do is before every year's up, I think about what's the thing that scares me the most that I haven't done yet.
Mm-hmm.
I look at my life in terms of like a sport, in terms of seasons.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a new championship to chase.
Right.
Always
right.
a new
yep.
you know, season
yep.
to go after in
yep.
life. And last year it was like I wanted to do a book.
Mm-hmm.
I was like hitting the New York Times list as a kid from Delaware, Ohio, who couldn't read and write in high school and was in the special needs classes and who when the teacher asked to stand up and read aloud from the book, couldn't do it.
Right.
For me, it was like it terrified the crap out of me to think about writing a book and putting my heart on the line for the world, something that's like etched in stone. When everything I was doing before was like online courses and I could edit things or whatever.
Exactly.
You know, this is like, this is out there. And then this year it was, you know what? I've never really done a big conference and brought people together and created an experience that I think could move people.
Right.
I just showed you a little highlight video.
Yeah, man.
And that just happened a weekend ago. And the night before, I like could not sleep because I was like just nervous about, am I going to pull this off?
Course,
what's going to happen?
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, I got this. I can do it next year.
Right.
But what's the thing next year that's going to scare me,
exactly.
that's going to help me grow?
Right, right.
And so I try to create structured challenges for myself because we're going to face adversity every day. But if we don't structure it in a way that's helping us move forward, I feel like we're going to stay comfortable. That's what I'm constantly challenging other people to do.
That's
like,
awesome.
What's the thing that scares you? Go do that more often, and you're going to grow in the process. But
love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Love it.
That's awesome.
Tell me about what it's been like working with Ellen. Like, what has that done for your career and for your reach and or everything?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, first and foremost, working for Ellen and with Ellen and being there every day, it's the biggest dose of happiness that one can get on a daily basis. It's
amazing.
It's kind of crazy because have you ever been to a taping?
I haven't been.
Okay, first
I'll
of all, okay. You're gonna come to a taping.
All right,
you're gonna come to a taping.
I appreciate it.
You're gonna come to a taping. Okay, it's like people say Disneyland's like the happiest place on earth.
This place,
Ellen, no
way.
Show. I really do.
Wow,
I really do, because like Disneyland is like kids. They're like, oh my god, everything's great because it's big and majestic and all that. But like these are like adults that take a step away from their everyday lives, no matter what they have going on, and they sit and they laugh. They might cry at an inspiring story. They might get a gift to come back to the 12 days of giveaways. You
Crazy.
Know, like things like that. And it's the biggest dose of like daily happiness. And I mean, it just kind of smacks you in the face. You can't help but to just be kind of captured by this energy, because I mean, people genuinely genuinely have a love and love her and her entire essence and the environment that she creates being there. Do you know what I mean? And that alone, just being able to be there and see that and feel that every day. You know what I mean? It was yesterday. She surprised the audience with 12 days of giveaway, and I'm in tears. Like, cause I'm like, because when this happens, everybody's happening. You see people across rows high fiving each other, walking down the aisles high fiving, hugging people that they don't know. Yeah. They did not come there with. You know what I mean? And with things so turbulent right now and everything going on out there, it's just nice to see an environment where you bring people together of all shapes and sizes, different colors, creeds, blah, blah, blah. And for that hour, like, they're just human beings. Mm. They just want to be happy. Amazing. They just want to laugh together. They just want to feel love. And that alone has just been incredible. And for my reach, man, it's there. I feel like I've become part of the Ellen family now.
It's crazy.
So those that have a love for the Ellen DeGeneres Show, you know, they've come to know me a little Amazing. Bit as well. You know, so it's honestly it is the biggest, one of the biggest blessings that was complete. I could not have planned for this. There was not a time when I was like, okay, hilarious. I am going to be on the Ellen DeGeneres Show daily, you know,
right? But were you ever on it before, like, as like a performer, or
no?
Just like as an actor,
like yeah. So we met by doing a dance together on So You Think
with Ellen.
Yeah,
she came
yeah.
on and did it.
She came on. Yeah, I'll have to show it to you.
Oh my god!
So I did it. I did a dance called "Get Out of Your Mind," and the guy that I did the dance with tore his Achilles.
This is the ballerina dude.
Yes,
right?
yes.
My podcast editor showed me this video. It was like
freaking out about it.
And then he tore his Achilles. She was like, he was gonna win it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he was. It was amazing. Like, it was incredible. And he tore his Achilles next week. So Ellen is a big fan of So You Think, and she contacted the choreographers and was like, hey, I want to recreate this, just, you know, because I want to show them some love. And we did the dance together, and from there she started bringing me onto the show to dance, or if she you know, needed me to dance for her or something like that, she was like oh yeah, call Twitch
for again
work again work, like creating like really great working relationships. Sure. You know, when it comes to dance, like outside there, oh, I need somebody to dance, like, oh, call Twitch, like a, you know. So when the DJ spot opened up, Tony, her DJ of 11 years, I think he just wanted to do something else and just kind of do his thing. That opened up, and they were like, okay, well, we should do like guest DJ, somebody to just come in. And they were like, oh, call Twitch. And then I went, had a great time. They were like, oh, call Twitch back. And
wow.
So they're bringing other guests at the same time. They brought other guests, but then
like a season
over
or something.
Over the years, I kept coming back.
And you would dance, rock
the crowd and that, all that, and then now I'm
wow,
there.
Man, it's insane. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, man.
It's a huge platform and it's just
a great place to be, all the people mm-hmm. over there. I'm telling you, man, when you come, not if, when sure. you come to taping, I'm bringing you around. You can just feel it. You feel the vibes. Everybody
That's
there.
Cool.
It's happy. It's great.
What would you say is the biggest lesson you learned from Ellen, from just being around her and being on the show for 4 years? What's the thing you learned from her?
Be kind, man. Be kind. Yeah. She says it every day.
After the show.
Yeah. Be kind. Be kind to one another. That's it. And that it's simple, but it goes a really, really long way, though. Yeah. Even on days where, you know, my patience might be running short for whatever reason. You know what I mean? And be kind doesn't mean be fake. It doesn't mean slap on a smile when you don't feel like smile. Sometimes it means just like on days where you might feel like you might want to have a go at somebody, like mm-hmm. you know what I mean, or feel like somebody might deserve you having a go at
sure,
them.
Sure.
Being kind might just be like, you know what, like
it's all good.
It's all good. Yeah. Man. Like, you know, and then just keeping it moving. Mm. You know, because it is it's huge, and also to give, man. She gives, you know, and like to get a gift for her, she wants you to give. You know what I mean? It's like no, don't get me anything.
Give it to somebody else.
World. Like, yeah. Get, like, that's, you know. And for me, I'm like, that's incredible. You know, it's like an everyday philanthropist. You know,
it's amazing. Yeah, amazing. We've gone over an hour and 15 minutes. I apologize.
It's all good.
I feel like I could ask you questions for another hour.
Yeah, exactly.
But I want to ask the final few questions.
Okay, cool.
First thing is, what are you most grateful for in your life recently?
Most grateful for my life recently is definitely my family, man.
Yeah.
My wife, my daughter, and my son. I know that's it. And then that just kind of it extends to everybody else, you know, because something else that I've also really been discovering in this in my 34 years is that something that in the chase of trying to make all of these things happen and this and that, I found myself getting away from my roots, meaning the things that that cultivated me as a person, and not just Twitch, but like the person that was like, I have an idea to make a nickname for myself, like, you know what I mean? Like I started kind of getting away from my roots because I was reaching for, like, you know how it is out here. It's a rat race out here. You know, it's just like, so every single opportunity I started to go, I need that, you know, and I found now, man, that like the richness comes from like cultivating your roots. Do you know what I mean? It comes from cultivating your roots. Like you can chase this and that and blah 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 blah. But like, you know, where are you from? Like,
yeah.
What makes you tick? Like this and that. I mean, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly, whatever. But like, cultivating my home life. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like stopping with trying to be all of these people for everybody else, rather than just being exactly who I am for my family and the people that actually love me, need me, depend on me, you know, like being that person for them, and that will shine out there. And I'll just talk about it out here rather than like trying to be this person, like trying to be like this guy, like, hey, you know, like
sure.
Just being exactly who I am for the people that need me.
That's cool.
You know, that like that. And to me, that's what I'm grateful for, man, because at the end of the day, like I'm not Twitch to them, you know, like Twitch is cool. Like, yeah, that's like a really cool character, you know, but like, at home, I'm dad. Like, you know, I'm dad. You know, and to me, that's the most. It's the most amazing and humbling and challenging thing ever. All of the elements of life, you know, is right in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's cool, man.
Yeah. Sorry, that was a bit of a tangent of an answer that you asked, but yeah,
it's all good. This is a question I ask everyone at the end called the three truths.
Okay.
So it's many years from now, and it's your last day here on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And everything you've ever created has been erased. All the videos, the content, anything you put out there is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And you're with all the people you care about and you love, and they hand you a piece of paper and a pen, and they say, will you write down the three things you know to be true about everything you've experienced in life that you would pass on to us, and this would be the message to the world, your three truths. Lessons. What would you say those would be?
Three truths. I am love. I have love. I deserve love. Right. Those three things. Because at the end of the day, love is what makes this whole thing happen. Everything. It's the reason you're here right now. It's the reason she's here right now. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? It set all of this up. It's the reason I'm here. Do you know what I mean? And still speaking, because it's like, yeah, hour 15 has passed, but I'm sitting here talking because like we love what we're talking about right now. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? So you are love. Like we're created from that. you have love within you. You have it around you, and you deserve love. Yeah. Period. Like, so those three truths for me, if those are the things that I could pass on, because I know that if I could hear that in, you know, my high school self, that like, I am love. That's what I was created from. I have it. So no matter what anybody is saying right now, like, I have love in me, and I know that there's some love out here somewhere. Like, so I don't have to take all of this hate, and that I deserve love. So even with all this stuff happening, I don't even need to hear that, because I don't deserve that. I deserve love, man. I deserve love. Yeah. I deserve kindness, you know? So I am love. I have love. I deserve love.
Those are powerful. Thanks for sharing those. Before I ask the final question, I want to acknowledge you for a moment, Twitch, for your incredible giving heart. You have such a powerful energy about you that is very loving and very kind. And you're creative. Your creativity is such an inspiration to so many people around the world. Again, my podcast editor was freaking out when she knew you were coming in, because she's like, he's been so inspiring to me over the years for bringing his gifts to the world and letting us experience it and lighting something up inside of us. So I want to acknowledge you for your incredibly loving, kind heart, for your incredible creativity, and for your drive to make an impact on the world with the gift that you love. It's really inspiring, man.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Man. Thank you, too. Seriously, thank you so much for having me,
of
man.
Of course.
Seriously, this is an incredible honor, man.
It's been
incredible
fun.
Honor, man.
I've got thank one you. Final question.
Absolutely.
Before I ask it, what can we do to support you? Where are you on social media the most? How can we... Okay. You're on Ellen every day at what time?
Damn, I'm on Ellen every day on NBC. And you have to check your local listings for that.
Sometime midday.
If you're here in Cali, it's at 4 o'clock. It's in the afternoon sometimes.
Yes.
So check. Yeah, it's on NBC. I'm on social media, Instagram, Sir Twitch a lot.
With the underscores?
Yeah, Sir Twitch underscore. A lot. Sorry, the underscores get a little obnoxious. And then on Snapchat, I'm Twitch Snapped.
Okay. Where do you hang out the most? Instagram?
I'm on Instagram the most. Okay. I've been really playing with Snapchat a lot.
Yeah. But now with Instagram really stories, it's kind of like,
what's the point? But you know what it is? I think I'm just like Instagram stories is cool, but like, I like Snapchat.
Yeah,
too,
it's cool. Though, too. Okay,
I
cool.
Like Snapchat, yeah.
We'll make sure to follow you there. We'll make sure to watch your movies. Anything else we can do to support you?
Absolutely, man. We have my wife and I both have a clothing line called Boss Empire, BossEmpireClothing.com. We are just kind of stay tuned, because we're working on two different dance fitness programs that are going to be dropping later in the year, which is going to be
like video dance programs.
Serious, yeah, right. Absolutely, yeah. Right. I know I can't speak about
it. Say it yet.
It's
dance fitness programs.
Dance fitness programs.
Cool.
Yes. And then my wife is writing a children's book. Allison Boss is her name.
There you go.
Allison Holker. But you can check that out.
So. Yeah. BossEmpire.com.
BossEmpireClothing.com.
BossEmpireClothing.com. We'll make sure to check that out. Yes. We'll have it all linked up here in the show notes as well. And the final question, what's your definition of greatness?
What's my definition of great? Oh, man. The definition of greatness is making life happen no matter what happens, no matter what's going on in front of you. Is making the choice to make life happen no matter what's going on in front of you. Like not being in effect, not just letting whatever happens, but like making a choice to make your life happen. Like no matter what's in front of you. That is great. That's greatness to me. That's greatness.
Twitch, thanks for coming on.
My man.
Appreciate it, bro.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode and it inspired you on your journey towards greatness. Make sure to check out the show notes in the description for a full rundown of today's episode with all the important links. And I want to remind you, if no one has told you lately, that you are loved, you are worthy, and you matter. And now it's time to go out there and do something great.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business.
You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
At Metro, get an iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system for $99.99. Take amazing pictures and share them instantly. And don't put up with life's yada yada.
Yada yada.
Like photo bombers. Zoom, crop out,
yada yada,
and bye.
You don't take yada yada in life, don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Get iPhone 12 with 5G with no activation fees and nada yada yada. Only at Metro by T-Mobile. Switch to Metro, bring your ID. This offer isn't available for customers currently at T-Mobile or that have been with Metro in the past 180 days.